Welcome to The Cauldron, a podcast hosted by Ed Bolden Greer, the creator of Ravensvale. In each episode, Ed will have free-flowing conversations about horror, life, culture, and personal growth. Expect to hear from storytellers, authors, horror experts, life gurus, thought leaders, and influencers. The Cauldron is a place where concoctions of a lot of ideas are brewed down to potions that are sometimes important and useful, sometimes eccentric and bizarre, but always just what you need. The Cauldron podcast may contain explicit language and thematic elements not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, hey there, family. Welcome back to another episode of the Ravensvale Cauldron. I'm your host, Ed Bolden Greer, and this is my co-host, Jacob Garner, a.k.a. Freddy Cat.
Hello, hello, everyone.
How you doing, Jacob? What's been going on?
You know, same old, same old. Getting used to this time change. We just sprung forward an hour.
It's hard to get used to that. I'm just telling you. I realize I get an hour less sleep, and that's killed me.
Didn't they? They signed some legislation, I think, next year or this year, right? We're going to stop doing that?
They say, but they haven't got an implementation plan from what I understand.
Well, I'm ready for it.
I am too. It's been a really busy week.
Yeah, it has.
I'm just telling you, we had graduation on Sunday, and we had a new class start Monday, so we really haven't had any downtime.
Well, I was wondering, how was your birthday this week?
Oh, it was great. We on Thursday, we went to Polanco's. Imagine that.
I know, right?
We also went after graduation, too. But we went to Polanco's, and to my surprise, there was a whole group of my friends and colleagues that were there. It was a great time. By the way, thank you for not showing up. You're always complaining about not being invited to things.
Yeah, like your wedding?
Jacob, you were a student when...
I don't care.
Yeah, then you don't show up to important things like my birthday party. So, yeah, it was low-key, is how I would put it. It was exactly what I wanted. You know, had people break into my house.
Yeah. They broke into your house.
And left me gifts. And
yeah. Reverse robbery.
Yeah, reverse robbery.
Well, family, join us next week as we explore the history and mystery of the top 10 most haunted places in the United States. We'll delve into a chilling journey through the top 10 most haunted places in the United States of America. From eerie asylums to ghost-ridden houses, these locations are steeped in mystery and spine-tingling tales. So buckle up and prepare for an adventure that's sure to send shivers down my spine.
You're such a fraidy cat.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be convenient because after we build this list, I'll know exactly the places I'm never going to go to.
Or are you going to go to them?
Oh, God.
Just as a reminder to everybody, we're in the process of setting up that paranormal investigation at the school that we're going to spend the night in the school. So I can't wait. I cannot wait to watch Jacob explore the paranormal.
Oh, God.
Jacob, are you ready for your would you rather questions?
Oh, yeah, man. I love these. Let's do it.
Okay. So, Jacob, would you rather have the ability to time travel at will, but not be able to control the exact location of where you go, or have the power to read minds, but only while singing out loud?
Huh. So it's just like if I time travel like 10 minutes forward, I could be in like Cairo, Egypt when I land.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the power to read minds. Mainly because I don't know why, but for like the past week, Garth Brooks's Friends in Low Places has been stuck in my head.
That's pretty suitable for you.
I know, right? All right. I got one for you. All right. Okay. Here's your question. Would you rather find a hidden treasure worth millions of dollars?
I like that.
But you can't spend it on yourself.
Okay.
Or would you rather receive a modest sum of money each month that you can spend any way that you like?
I just like some money.
You just don't care.
I'm going to say I would rather find the hidden treasure worth millions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not surprised by that. You're a very generous person. You and Jared both.
And the reason that I think I would choose that is that it didn't say I couldn't buy things for Jared.
Hey, yeah, what's mine is yours.
That I could also benefit from. But no, in all seriousness, you already know this. Jared and I have a desire to help people. And if we had millions that we could just spend on other people, number one, we'd save a lot of money of our own money. Yeah. But number two, that would be where our happiness would be, you know? So, that's my answer.
Well, I hope for my sake you guys find the treasure too, then.
Well, deep in the heart of the Navajo Reservation, a small town nestled in the shadows of ancient legends, a sense of unease hung in the air. The people whispered of strange happenings, of eerie sightings beneath the pale moonlight. One fateful night, as the wind whispered through the canyon, a young girl named Lily ventured into the forest. She was drawn to the mysteries that lurked within, curious to uncover the truth that hid in the darkness. As she wandered deeper into the woods, a bone-chilling coldness enveloped her. The trees seemed to whisper secrets, their branches reaching out like gnarled fingers. A sense of foreboding tightened its grip on Lily's heart, but she pressed on, determined to uncover the truth. Suddenly, a rustle echoed through the silence. Lily's heart skipped a beat as she turned to face the source of the sound. There, standing before her, was a figure cloaked in darkness. Its eyes gleamed with an unnatural light, and a twisted smile adorned its face. It was a skinwalker. Fear paralyzed Lily's body as the creature began to transform, its limbs elongating, bones cracking and stretching, its skin twisted and contorted, taking on the form of a predatory beast. The air filled with the stench of decay as the skinwalker unleashed a blood-curdling howl. Lily's survival instincts kicked in, and she sprinted through the forest, branches scratching at her face. Desperation fueled her every step as the skinwalker gave chase, its inhuman speed closing in. Just as all hope seemed lost, Lily stumbled upon an ancient burial ground, its gravestones worn with time. She frantically scanned the area for a place to hide, her heart pounding in her chest. Spotting an open crypt, she dove inside, praying it would shield her from the skinwalker's wrath. Silence descended upon the graveyard as Lily held her breath, listening for any sign of danger. Time seemed to stretch on endlessly, each second feeling like an eternity. Finally convinced the coast was clear, she cautiously emerged from her hiding place. But as she stepped out, a bone-chilling realization washed over her. The crypt was not empty. Standing before her, with empty eyes and a twisted smile, was the skinwalker. So, Jacob, did you do your homework?
That was good. Yes, I did. Yes, I definitely did. And I just want to say, this topic was a lot of fun.
It was. Tell us what you learned.
All righty. So, I'm going to attempt a pronunciation of the Navajo term for a skinwalker. And a lot of the information that I ended up compiling today was centered around the interpretations of the skinwalker via the Navajo Nation. Now, there are a couple of different tribes in the Southwest that have their own versions of the skinwalker, but the Navajo Nation has a very deep breadth of knowledge about it. So, a skinwalker is a mythical creature or commonly described as a witch in the Navajo culture. Pronounced, and here we go, Yinaloshi, Yinaloshi. And in English, it roughly translates to, by means of it, it goes on all fours. In Navajo folklore, a skinwalker is typically believed to be a human who has acquired supernatural abilities through dark magic or by breaking significant cultural taboos. While they possess abilities that might seem demonic, such as shapeshifting, and they have a malevolent intent, they are not considered demons in the traditional sense of how we imagine demons.
Yeah, most people look at them as witches.
Exactly, and that's where a lot of the research is going to go towards. They are interpreted by the Navajo as being humans who have chosen to use their powers for the forces of evil. According to the oral legends, a skinwalker is a person with the supernatural ability to shapeshift into various animal forms, the most common being owls, coyotes, which are definitely associated with being a trickster, bears, wolves, you know, the typical stuff like that that you'll see in the Southwest. But on top of the lexicon of different powers that skinwalkers are said to have, skinwalkers are also reported to be able to take possessions of bodies of human victims, specifically if a person locks eyes with them. And after taking control, this witch can make its victims do and say things that they wouldn't do otherwise. Skinwalkers are very intelligent and powerful people, mainly because they possess the knowledge of forbidden rituals and spells, allowing them to do all of these kind of dark powers that they have. Interestingly enough, most traditional medicine men or women in Navajo culture are taught the perils and the ways of evil dark magic in order to be better prepared to combat against it. This is what makes, in my opinion, the skinwalker even more insidious, because it originally started out as a highly regarded member of the community who now chooses purposely to be evil in the search of power and being corrupted in the process. I thought this was kind of fun. The type of Navajo witchcraft that this is known as is roughly translated in English as the witchery way, which is just a fun word, witchery.
Witchery.
But this isn't very fun. The skinwalker uses a lot of human corpses in various ways, such as tools from the bones and concoctions that are used to curse, harm, or kill intended victims, crops, or groups of people. The cool thing about being a skinwalker is that it's not restricted by gender. You could be either male, female, or anything in between, but more often than not, skinwalkers are associated with being male in a lot of the folklore that I found. And this is something I find really kind of unsettling. They walk freely among the tribe during the day and secretly transform under the cover of night. That's something that is a reoccurring theme in the research that I found. The part that scares the Navajo the most about skinwalkers is that it could be you.
Yeah.
It could be a guy or a woman that we get to make traditional herbs and medicines, lead a lot of ceremonial rituals and stuff, but under the cover of night when nobody's paying attention, they kind of have like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going on.
Yeah, it could be your co-host.
So how do you become a skinwalker? Outside of just choosing to be evil. Interestingly enough, I found some information that basically says that he or she must be initiated by a secret society that requires the evilest of deeds. In the Navajo culture, one of the most unforgivable crimes that you can do is killing a close family member, most often a sibling, okay? After completing this task, this individual acquires supernatural powers. And we've gone over that they can transform into various different animals, but they kind of have to wear the skins of the animals they transform into, like the pelts, hence the name skinwalker.
Right. One of the things you talked about that they can control people, but they can also take on the appearance of people.
Yeah.
In a lot of the folklore, making you believe that you've had an encounter with an individual when in fact it was a skinwalker.
Yes, yes. And that's something that I couldn't find a direct connection on how they feel about it. But to my understanding, this idea of killing a family member or a sibling, if the skinwalker transforms into your brother, right, even though he has no relation to you, by still carrying out the act, the person being murdered believes it's their brother, and that's an unforgivable crime. So that's kind of how they gain their power, which right. I thought was interesting. But on top of just wearing skins of the animals that they transform into, sometimes they're depicted as wearing animal skulls or antlers on top of their heads, giving them more power. They then can choose what animal they want to turn into, depending on the ability that they need for a particular task. Most often than not, it's either going to be inhumane speed, strength, endurance, stealth, claws, teeth, etc. But more often than not, they transform into animals to escape from pursuers.
Right.
But because of this tendency of skinwalkers wearing the pelts of their animals that they transform into, the Navajo consider it a taboo for its members of the tribe to wear the pelt of any predatory animal, like a bear, coyote, etc. However, sheepskin leather and buckskin are completely acceptable. It is said that in addition to be able to shapeshift, the Skinwalker can also control the creatures of the night. It can coordinate with a pack of wolves to hunt somebody down. It could get owls to scan overhead and find somebody who's hiding. Basically, they're like, you know how like in the old comic books, Aquaman could control all the creatures of the ocean?
Yeah.
It's like what the Navajo believe the Skinwalkers can do.
Huh.
It's reported, too, that some Skinwalkers can call up the spirits of the dead and reanimate corpses to attack their enemies, kind of like a zombie sort of situation. Oh. And because of this combination of both evil spirits under their bidding, animals under their bidding, the members of this tribe rarely ventured out alone. But once they shapeshift, others could tell that they were not real animals. And here's how. They say that their eyes are very different from a traditional animal. Instead, the eyes on the animal will look very human, kind of an uncanny similarity. And when the lights shine on them, either by the glow of a fire or from a flashlight, they turn bright red. Alternatively, with their eyes looking more like humans when they're animals, when they're in human form, they have the eyes of a predator, is what they report.
That's interesting.
But to go back to the evil society of witches, that kind of speed up the process of turning you into a skinwalker, this coven gathers in dark caves or secluded places for several purposes. But obviously, the main purpose is to initiate new members, plot their activities, harm people from a distance with black magic, and perform dark ceremonial rites. These ceremonies have similarities to other tribal affairs, including dancing, feasts, rituals, sand painting, which I thought was really cool, but they're corrupted with dark connotations. The evildoers are said to engage in necrophilia with female corpses, commit cannibalism, grave robberies, and even incest, apparently. During these gatherings, the skinwalkers shapeshift into their animal forms or just walk around naked, wearing only beaded jewelry and ceremonial paint, most oftentimes being painted with the blood of their victims. The leader of the skinwalkers is usually an old man who is a very powerful and long-lived skinwalker. But I wanted to dispel something that a lot of people have when they think of skinwalkers. You've seen images and drawings of skinwalkers on the internet. Usually they are these twisted, long, uncanny,
kind of mangled.
Yeah. And while they do transform into creatures similar to that, the average skinwalker just looks like a normal human being.
Right. Kind of like your co-host.
Kind of.
A normal human being.
I'm not going to make direct eye contact with that this entire time. One interesting thing, though, that I found was they are very human. Even though they're kind of this evil being, they're not bloodthirsty murder machines that are just racking up bodies every single night. Like humans, they do kill, but like humans, they have motivations for their acts of aggression. Most often than not, most skinwalkers kill for power and revenge. It fuels their murderous intent, but such things cannot occupy the brain of a rational creature all the time. So, as a consequence, skinwalkers do not make murder part of their daily routine. They kill out of greed, anger, envy, spite. They're also reported to rob graves for personal wealth, collect much-needed ingredients for black magic use. These witches also live on the unexpected deaths of their victims, and they must continually kill or perish themselves. Again, the time frame on how often a skinwalker needs to kill to gain this evil life force varies. I've seen once a week. In some of the more gory tales, it's like every night. It seems like overall, the skinwalker, if it was just killing people all the time indiscriminately, it would blow its cover, obviously. A lot of common modern stories of skinwalkers include them in their animal form, running alongside a vehicle and matching their speed. And even as the driver accelerates, they still maintain a side-by-side speed with them. Eventually, the skinwalkers will get bored and simply just disappear into the surrounding wilderness. But in some respects, it seems rather playful, like a dog chasing a car that passes on the street. But just imagine you're going 70 down the road and there's a coyote keeping speed with you or a wolf.
Yeah.
That would scare the crap out of me. In other instances, people report seeing or hearing skinwalkers outside of their home at night, but rarely does the skinwalker ever enter the dwelling. It seems like there seems to be some sort of protection for most people that a skinwalker will never enter into their building. So that's why some skinwalkers transform into somebody that you would recognize and trust, and they kind of stand outside of your house and beckon you outside where they then can kill you.
Right. I wonder if it's anything like a vampire where you have to be invited in.
I think so. I think the skinwalkers, they're so evil, right? I think that they gain more power if the sense of betrayal before the death is at its all-time high.
Well, that makes sense.
So as a PSA, if any of you listening are just chilling inside of your house and then your mother randomly is standing outside in your lawn at like 3 a.m. and she's like, hey, Jacob, come on out outside. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
She's a skinwalker.
One thing that I thought was really interesting that I wanted to bring up was the Navajo Witch Purge of 1878.
More witch killings.
I know, right? But it appears that it doesn't matter if it was in the old world in Europe or in the new world in America. People just love hunting
witches.
People
are just hunting witches.
Although, to be fair, these witches definitely seem like some witches that you would want to hunt. It evolved as a cultural response to so many people moving across and onto their lands during the forced relocation of a lot of Native people. After a series of wars with the U.S. Army, the Navajo were expelled from their land and forced to march to the Bosque Redondo, Fort Sumner, in New Mexico, in what is now known as the Long Walk of the Navajo, in 1864. Unsurprisingly, there the people suffered from failed crops, illness, death, bad water, and all of this contributed to reducing their numbers dramatically. After 4 years of being forced to be interned there, the government of the United States finally admitted that they had made a mistake, and the Navajo were allowed to return to their homeland in the Four Corners area. During these years, though, many of the tribe members were said to have shapeshifted to escape the terrible conditions.
Oh, wow.
In the meantime, the rest of the tribe were convinced that their gods had deserted them. Once the people had returned to their homeland, though, their conditions improved, but the dreaded skinwalkers, whom they blamed for their years on the bleak reservation, were still among them. At least that's what they said. Accusations of witchcraft and the hunting of the skinwalkers began. When someone found a collection of witch artifacts wrapped in a copy of the Treaty of 1868, the tribal members unleashed deadly consequences. The Navajo witch purge occurred in 1878, in which 40 suspected Navajo witches were killed to restore harmony and balance to the tribe.
Wonder if that worked.
I don't know. I thought it would be cool to go over some accounts of skinwalkers really quick.
Yeah, lay it on me.
So, interestingly enough, the modern tellings of the skinwalkers are more trickster-like than nefarious and dark. Numerous people have told stories of swift animals running alongside their horses or their vehicles, and matching their speed, a speed that's unnatural for whatever animal that the skinwalker shapeshifted into.
So supernatural speeds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Along the way, though, there have been instances where the animals sometimes mid-movement turn into a man and then start banging on the hood of the vehicle before transforming into an animal and flying off.
Hmm.
That would
mess me up.
That'd scare the shit out of me, dude. I found a really cool story, though. This story tells of a man making repairs on an old ranch home when he heard loud laughter coming from a nearby sheep pen that he owned. Thinking he was alone, he went to investigate and found all of the sheep but one huddled in a corner of the pen. However, a lone ram, separated from the group, was standing upright on its hind legs and laughing in a very human manner.
Hmm.
After the man locks eyes with the ram, he sees that his eyes are not that of an animal, but look like a human staring back. Then, the animal, casually and calmly, walked away on all four legs.
Shapeshifter or skinwalker? I'm going to say skinwalker because shapeshifters are usually, you know, their own thing.
Yeah. And imagine seeing that. And trying to tell everybody.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Exactly. In the 1980s, one notable event occurred of a skinwalker when a family was driving through the Navajo reservation. So again, non-tribe members, right?
Non-tribe members.
Something jumped from the ditch as they slowed to get around a sharp curve. It was described as a black, hairy creature wearing a shirt and pants, kind of like a werewolf. A A few days after this event, oh God, this is so, oh, this gave me goosebumps when I found it. A few days after this event where they spotted this creature, the family was awakened to loud drumming and chanting at their home in Flagstaff, Arizona. Outside of their home were three dark forms of men outside of their fence. However, these shadowy creatures seemingly could not climb the fence and soon left. Dude, I'm telling you. Oh, that's so creepy.
I looked up, you know, images because what you're describing is kind of what I've always considered skinwalker. So in my research and just now Googled, not a sponsor, skinwalkers. And I'm surprised at how many of the images show like wolves.
Yeah.
And like werewolves as opposed to other animals, and how the, although they're humanoid, they just look bizarre.
There's something off.
Yeah, there's just something off.
Ugh.
Gonna sleep good tonight, aren't you, Jacob?
Oh, yeah, I know, right? I thought I would end my research with a couple of different things, but there was one quote from a gentleman named Dan Benchiek, who is an anthropologist at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. He did a lot of extensive research with the Navajo tribe. He was a non-tribe member, but as he was poking and prodding into skinwalker information, he had this quote to say, quote, "A skinwalker is tied up with the Navajo concept of good and evil. The Navajos believe that life is a kind of wind blowing through you, but some people have a dark wind, and they tend to be evil. One easy way that a lot of Navajos say that you're evil in their tribe is that if you typically have a lot more money or a lot more resources than you need and you aren't helping your fellow tribe members and your kinfolk, that is a symptom of somebody who's got a dark wind blowing through them. Interestingly enough, a lot of Navajos will tell me emphatically, especially when I first started talking to them and they didn't know me very well, that they don't believe in all of the skinwalker stuff. But then, when you get to be a friend, someone that they trust, they'll start telling you about the first time that they ever saw one."
Hmm. Yeah, I could see how you wouldn't want that belief system that you have out to everybody, because just think about how, like the Mothman, how the public has descended on that location and just kind of made it its own. You don't have that privacy anymore.
So are they real? And who can say, honestly? In some respects, the tale of skinwalkers is a lot like UFO sightings. Too bizarre to picture to being true, while being too numerous to dismiss.
Well, thank you, Jacob.
Yeah.
Well, family, that's it for this episode of the Ravensfell Cauldron. Skinwalkers are supernatural beings deeply rooted in the Navajo tradition. According to legend, they are witches or medicine men who have acquired the ability to transform into animals. It is said that they can take the form of any animal they desire, from coyote to wolf to owl or bear. These malevolent beings are believed to possess dark powers and engage in witchcraft for evil purposes. The origin of the skinwalker legend dates back centuries, with stories passed down through generations of Navajo people. Encounters with skinwalkers are often described as traumatic experiences filled with dread. Witnesses have reported seeing these creatures lurking in the shadows, their eyes glowing with an otherworldly light. It's important to note that skepticism exists regarding the existence of skinwalkers. Skeptics argue that these stories are rooted in folklore and superstition, attributing sightings to misidentification or hoaxes. Regardless of one's belief, the legends of skinwalkers continue to fascinate and unsettle those who dare to explore the dark corners of the supernatural. So next time you find yourself in the desolate landscapes of the American Southwest, be cautious of the shadows and keep your senses sharp. You never know when you might come face to face with the chilling presence of a skinwalker lurking just beyond the veil of reality.
And just really quick, I wanted to offer a short disclaimer. Me and Ed will never be able to truly understand the totality of what a skinwalker is or its overall significance in the Navajo culture, simply because we are not part of the Navajo Nation. To fully grasp the concept of skinwalkers would require us to be fully raised up in the cultural and religious context of this tribe. In fact, a bunch of research that I did this week repeatedly brought up how so many Navajo are quite frankly annoyed and offended by non-tribe members repeatedly asking them a barrage of questions about skinwalkers like it's some sort of cool werewolf or vampire lore. It's not. The skinwalker is a very, very taboo topic. So don't be surprised if you attempt to prod a Navajo member for information, even surface level, to be immediately shut down or ignored.
I'm Ed Bolden Greer.
And I'm Jacob Garner.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you like what you've heard, make sure you join us next week as we explore the history and mystery of the top 10 most haunted places in the United States. Now, family, you adults have a few chores to do. Go on over to ravensvale.com and see about doing your chores on social media. Follow us on all the social media platforms that we've made available just for you folks. Like, listen, subscribe, and follow wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you don't mind, leave us a good rating and a kind comment. You can find the Ravensvale podcast on your favorite podcast platform. If you haven't already, just search for the Ravensvale Cauldron podcast. And again, make sure you hit the follow button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Oh, and tell a friend about us, won't you? So until next time, family,
see you soon.
The Ravensvale Cauldron is a production of Small Raven Media. Today's episode was hosted by Ed Bolden Greer with co-host Jacob A. Garner. Audio engineering and sound design by Nick Devan at Nikki D. Sound. Copyrighted 2024 Small Raven Media. All rights reserved.